Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. First of all, I want to remind you all, everybody that has already won tickets to the Chili Cook-Off, Car Show, and Craft Brew Festival. It is today, and it's their 46th annual annual festival. It's noon to 5. It's over in Thousand Oaks at Caneo Creek Park South. And I actually have a couple more pairs of tickets to give away. So call in right now at 805-419-0008. And all you have to do is leave us your name, your number, and your email, and we will be able to get some winners. So again, if you're just waking up, starting your day in a positive way here on the Kim Pagano Show, I am Kim, and I have some amazing guests that we're going to be talking about. And I have more tickets because we have the Wild Oaks Country Music Festival coming up, and that is June 3rd. So I'm telling you, put these on your calendar. There's so many great events that are slowly coming back. So again, I want to make sure you have our number, 805-419-0008. And of course, we love to bring you the brighter side of life. And talking about that, we are actually just going to go right into our first guest, and she's been on before. I've actually taken her social media classes, and I would love to invite and introduce Bridget Brady. She's the founder and CEO of Amp Up My Business. She is a creator of Social Media Success Academy, which I actually am taking and currently taking. She's a keynote speaker, business amplifier, social media marketing, strategy, and training. And she's on today. Welcome, Bridget. Thank you so much for being here.
Kim, I'm so excited to be back. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. And I have to just tell you, oh my gosh, I learned so many things. And I thought I was already pretty good at this, but you gave me so many secrets and tips and just marketing strategies that every business owner should have. And so welcome and thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited that you're enjoying the Social Media Success Academy. And I'm just excited that you're enjoying it because what you said is so true for, I would say, 90% of entrepreneurs, of savvy entrepreneurs like yourself, savvy business owners, who are like, yeah, I think I'm doing a pretty good job on social. And then they really come sort of behind the scenes and behind the curtain, and they're like, oh, I'm not doing any of these things. They're like, oh, no, I thought I was doing a good job. Oh, no, I'm not doing any of these things. So it's very fun. It's very fun for me to talk to you knowing that you're learning fun new things because I know how established you are and I know how savvy you are, but truly.
Well,
so
thank
for you,
you
to
thank
say
you,
that
thank
you're
you.
Learning things, I love. That makes me happy.
Well, yeah, and Bridget, you know, first of all, let's give out the link for everybody because you actually have one coming up that, is there a charge for it or how do people get into it?
No, there is not. So I am hosting a free 5-day social media masterclass, and that is coming up here in less than 2 weeks, and people can register. I have a special link for your listeners.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
How cool is that? A special link for your listeners, and that is kim.ampupmybiz.com. kim.ampupmybiz.com. And I mean, we take really good care of everyone, but we'll take especially good care of your listeners.
So thank you. And you know what? I have to just say, you know, I sign up for a lot of the little things because I always feel like I can learn golden nuggets from everybody. That is just inspirational. And, you know, you never, there's just not enough. You just keep learning. But especially from yours, talk to us about why social media, why, and, you know, and one of the things that I really learned from you is your biggest challenge is to get people off of social media and so that they're on your stuff, on your website, on your, you know, whatever it is that you are pulling them towards, correct?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest challenges that I see entrepreneurs have, or one of the biggest myths, is business owners get so focused on social media itself, like almost for the sake of social media. They're so focused on, you know, how many followers did I get today, and how many likes, and how many comments. And don't get me wrong, all that is great. As a matter of fact, I literally just got a note from my team that a reel we posted, I mean, hours ago, got like over 10,000 views, over 1,000 likes, is like 50 comments. I mean, we just posted this reel.
So oh my God, what was it of? Let's just find out that.
Yeah, so it actually was an invitation. If any, like, I mean, people haven't, they wouldn't see it, but it's very funny. So it actually is an invitation to my masterclass. But
isn't you making that pasta, like throwing everything in? Oh, my God. I thought that was brilliant.
Yes. So I used the analogy of, like, baking a cake. And it was one of those random ideas that I literally had while we were shooting other videos. And I said, you know, let's make this video. And it's pretty comedic, and it's me throwing a whole bunch of stuff in a bowl, and it's funny, which people love humor. Mm-hmm. But the point of all these things, this is the perfect illustration, right? So it's very funny, it's very engaging, it's getting lots of views and likes, but ultimately this particular video, the call to action is to come join me in my upcoming free 5-day masterclass. And there's a whole, you know, there's a whole strategy that is very specific and goes behind this magic of what you said, Kim, getting people off of social media, like into your offers, onto your blog, onto your radio show, whatever it is, into your store. There's a whole strategy behind it. And that's what we talk about, you know, in the 5-day class. What we talk about in the 5-day class is not social media for the sake of social, likes for the sake of likes, like vanity numbers, right? Like, oh, look how many people liked my post. Great.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those people turned into clients?
Right.
That's
what's your numbers? What are you exactly?
Right.
And you know, and I just want to throw this out to our listeners right now. If you are not getting the results you are looking for online and on your social media marketing, grab this link. It's free. First of all, I did it. I'm still doing it. And you will learn some amazing things. And Bridget, let's go back to how did you even become an entrepreneur?
Ooh, let's go back to that. That's a great question. So,
thank you.
I actually wrote a book about this, quite honestly. It's called Jobs to Jammies, and it's all about how to get out of your job and be at work in your PJs, entrepreneur, because I like to work in my PJs.
Mm-hmm.
But like I am right now, you can't see
me.
And I'm glad. So, gosh, how do you become an entrepreneur? I think where it starts is desire and mindset, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's where it starts. Where it starts is desire, mindset, having just so much commitment to, you know, leaving that job or getting out of your job or starting your own business. And then from there, it's such a varied journey, and I think everyone goes through a different journey. But I think that, you know, once you cultivate the commitment and the mindset, then a lot of it, honestly, is logistics. What are your products? What are your services? Who do you serve? Right? Who is your ideal client? Who do you serve? How can you serve them? And then this is where social media comes in. How do you get the word out? Right? You
right.
start a business. You have products. You have services. How do you get, I always say, get more eyeballs on your awesome? How do
yeah,
you get
I love
people,
how you say that.
Right? How do you get
yeah.
people to see your awesome? Whatever it is. I don't care if it's a brick and mortar bakery or if it's a, you know, online business, it doesn't matter what it is. How do you get visible, which is why I'm so passionate about social media marketing, because you have 4.3 billion potential eyeballs. It's a lot of eyeballs
wow.
that
yeah.
you can put on your awesome. So,
yeah, I love it. Let me ask you a couple questions, first
yeah.
of all, and then maybe you can give us some tips. How many, like, okay, everybody should have a business page, correct, for their business?
Absolutely. If you're in business accounts all the way. On
okay.
Facebook, a business page. On Pinterest, a business account. You know, it's called different things on different platforms.
Right.
But the answer is absolutely. If you're in business, register for all the all the business accounts, the creator accounts. So that you can take advantage of all of the bells and whistles that social media has to offer.
Okay. Now, how many should you have on, let's just say, Facebook? Should you only have one?
So it depends on your business, but for most entrepreneurs, most, you are going to have, obviously, your personal profile. Everyone has to have a personal profile. And that's what people think of as their page,
mm-hmm.
but it's really,
mm-hmm.
it's called a profile. And that's
right.
the, you know, where you post pictures of your kids and your dogs, et cetera.
Right.
And then you're going to have your business page, your Facebook business page. And that's where you're really going to drive your traffic and, you know, build up your business, put out your posts specifically directed towards your ideal clients and customers. Then, if you want to get real fancy with it, you can also have, on Facebook in particular, you can have a Facebook group that is a more private and intimate arena so that people can come from your page into your group. There's a lot of different strategies and techniques around how to do this and why to do this, but having a Facebook group is also a great way to create an intimate space for your prospects and clients and customers.
Now, there's a lot of theory, and I really see this now after I was working with you, is you probably really need a landing page, right? Something to be able to gather emails, so that you're taking them off of it, and now you actually have a perfect way to get in touch with them instead of just staying on Facebook, because one day it could be not there anymore, correct?
Yeah, 1,000%. So
okay.
at the beginning and the end of the day, you want to also be building – it's a big topic, Kim. You also want to be building your list along with building your social media. The great news about social media is that you have access to 4.3
mm-hmm.
billion people. The
right.
bad news about social media is you have zero control over
right.
what's going to happen. What are they doing this week? Or is the platform even going to be around anymore? Right? Like, there was a day way, way, way before most people.
Oh,
social.
I remember that day
yeah.
where we were like, shut down. And it was like, oh, gosh, how am I going to even talk to any of those people?
Yeah. So there was, you know, there was a day back, and there was like MySpace, and now it's gone, although apparently it might be back. But the point is, build what you said, Kim, is so true. Building your list, whether that's
right.
through landing pages, whether that's through an opt-in on your website, the key, and we're going to talk so much about this over the course of 5 days, but
mm-hmm.
the key is to build your visibility and your credibility on social. Build your know, love, trust on social, and then give something people compelling to come off social to, vis-a-vis a landing page or your website or whatever you have going on, that can build your list. Because your list you own. Your list you
right.
own forever. Yeah.
So in my case, and I'm just saying my case because I'm talking to you and our listeners, you don't know what their businesses are. In my case, what, as an expert, what would you tell me, how would I get them off? Like, what could I do? Either put my website on there, invite them to join my website, which is, how would you do it?
Oh, gosh, there's so many things you can do. So you can do it as part of your ticket giveaways, right? Like you can, instead of having people, I'm just so off the cuff here, but yes, absolutely, people could call in to enter to win tickets. You could also have them enter their information on a landing page and have them enter their name and their email and their phone number to enter to win tickets. Now they're in your world, right? There's one possibility. Another possibility is, I mean, you provide so much value to people, so I'm sure you have other fun little giveaways and tips and tricks up your sleeve. So, you know, you could do a daily affirmation for people. You could do a weekly affirmation. I know your whole show
right.
is like an affirmation.
But
right. you could find something that's congruent with your brand, relevant to your audience, that you could easily, you have this incredible platform. You could easily do other kinds of giveaways. And like you said, have a landing page where people can enter their information, get something for free, either be entered to win something or get something immediately really cool. And now they're on your list, right? Versus just, not that being a listener is a bad thing. It's an incredible thing. I mean, we couldn't possibly name all the successful radio shows in the world. So
of course,
you already have like the coolest thing by having listeners. And to your question, you know, people love receiving, right? People love receiving things of value, whether that's tickets to a music festival or a chili cook-off, or whether that's, you know, a master class or affirmations or anything you want to give away. So that's one way, one small way that you could, you know, get people into your database.
I love it. I love it. Again, Bridget, you have so many great ideas. I encourage everyone to take some time out. And also, I mean, you give a little book, a workbook with it. Just definitely check this out. Bridget, give out the link again for all of our listeners to be a part of it.
Absolutely. It is kim.ampupmybiz.com. Kim.ampupmybiz.com. And like I said, it's 5 days. It's about an hour a day. It's totally free. And it's comprehensive and super fun. So if you are an entrepreneur, a business owner, or thinking about becoming an entrepreneur or business owner, I highly encourage you to join us. It's going to be awesome.
How fun. And I'm going to be back there again. I love it. You know, I'm one of those people, like, if I can pick up a golden nugget, I'm all there. So, again, Bridget, Brady, thank you so much. And, of course, Amp Up My Biz is her business, and she is the founder and CEO. Thank you so much for sharing your goodness.
Thanks for having me, Kim. It was awesome.
You got it. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks.
All right. We are going to take a really quick break. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We'll be right back.
It's time for the 46th annual Thousand Oaks Chili Cook-Off and Craft Brew Festival. Get your taste buds ready to sample the best chili from the area's top chefs. There'll also be plenty of gourmet food trucks, the finest craft beers, and a dazzling array of classic cars. Add in 3 stages of country and classic rock music and a free kids fun zone, and you have a can't-miss event. It's all taking place Sunday, May 7th, with family-friendly hours from noon to 5 at Conejo Creek Park North on Jans Road at Highway 23 in Thousand Oaks. We'll see you out there Sunday, May 7th.
Did you know anger management is available to you? Do you live with stress every day? Are you driving, feeling stressed, possibly speeding? There are stress management techniques available to you to help you reduce stress and the risk of a court-ordered anger management class. TNT Anger Management Services can help you. The consultation is free. Call TNT today, not tomorrow, at 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to their website at tntams.com. That's tntams.com.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
The Kim Pagano Show is proud to partner with the eWomen Network as they continue to help millions of women entrepreneurs achieve their goal of $1 million in annual revenue. The eWomen Network accelerated events take place the first Wednesday of each month at the beautiful Los Robles Greens in Thousand Oaks. The event will include lunch with wonderful speakers talking about relevant topics for your business and many opportunities to network with potential clients and make connections. Come join the fun and elevate your business. The eWomen Network only requires one lifetime membership fee and a monthly fee to stay active on their website. Come find out how the eWomen Network is different than the other networking groups. Apply now on their website at
eWomenNetwork.com/chapters/Calabasas-665. That's eWomenNetwork.com/chapters/Calabasas-665.
Come to the Wild Oaks Country Music Festival June 3rd, Thousand Oaks, to celebrate great music with family and friends. Top country entertainers Craig Morgan, Chase Beckham, and Cam will be there, along with lots of tasty food and beverages and over 75 vendors. Plus, sample hot sauces from around the world. Festival proceeds help military veterans and local first responders. See you June 3rd at the Wild Oaks Country Music Festival in Thousand Oaks. Buy your tickets at wildoakscmf.com.
Are you looking for a way to support cancer patients and survivors in your community? Cancer Support Community Valley Ventura Santa Barbara invites you to join their 5th annual Hope Walk on June 10th at Cal Lutheran University. Free registration is now open. You can register, join a team, and donate. This event is a great opportunity to honor cancer survivors, remember those lost to cancer, and come together as a community to support those affected by cancer. For more, visit cancersupportbvsb.org. or call 805-379-4777. That's 805-379-4777.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com, or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177. 7177.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. And again, I'm excited to bring our next guest on, who is actually local. And of course, Kim Canton, her book, Where Yellow Flowers Bloom. And of course, we're going to talk a little bit about her journey and how she wrote this book and why she wrote this book after the devastating mudslides, which I remember, of January 2018. I can't believe it's been that long. And surviving the experience, she felt compelled to write her first book. Congratulations. And she's still active member of Santa Barbara community, where she, when she isn't spending time with her daughter and friends, she is with her two puppies. What kind of puppies do you have? And let's welcome Kim Canton.
Thank you, Kim. They're doodles. One's a sheep a doodle.
Oh, I love
my
doodles.
My daughter wanted the doodles, not another Irish setter. So.
There you go. I love it. So welcome and thank you so much for joining us. Talk to us a little bit about, first of all, yellow flowers bloom. Okay, it's like kind of the timing right now, all those yellow flowers everywhere. But talk to us about your experience and, of course, why you wrote this book.
Sure. So I was involved in the 2018 Montecito mudslide. 30-foot wave of mud and debris and boulders the size of cars came crashing down on my house and obliterating it with my family in it. Sadly, my husband and my 17-year-old son perished, as well as the family dog.
I'm so sorry to hear that. Okay.
Yeah, and I was washed away about 2 football fields distance and found in an intersection wrapped in electrical wires and injured. And my daughter, then 14, was washed away 100 yards or 1 football field distance. And
You're giving me chills right now. Yes.
Yeah,
wow.
She was buried
alive.
And
you know what? This is such a story to share. So thank you for having the courage to share this unbelievable tragedy that you went through and at the same time triumph, you know?
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I just, it was during COVID and it was quiet and I said, I'm going to start writing it down so I don't forget it for my future family. Mm-hmm. And then as I wrote it, I realized it was kind of reflective. I saw that I was kind of going from desperate grief to more peaceful integration or adaptation. And then I realized, well, maybe this might help others. So really, it became a passion project of maybe this book can help other people going through a tough time. If it's trauma, if it's grief, if it's both, if it's just a bad time, to say, how do you look for the good, which is the metaphor of the title, Where Yellow Flowers Bloom.
And so in line with my show, because we are all about the brighter side of life. Life happens to us. I mean, look what you went through. I've lost a baby, been divorced. And, you know, there's something that, and I'm just going to say my dad was just up here visiting. It's all about, you know, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going on. And with saying that, how did you keep going on?
I think it's the tribe I put around me. I mean, this town, I have really wonderful friends. New people showed up in my life, like the Sacred Search team. But this community in Santa Barbara is pretty darn unique in its compassion. So it's the people. The people were my anecdote and the compassion shown.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful. So let me ask you, okay, and I believe so deeply in spiritual beliefs. Talk to us about, and if you're okay with that, accepting your husband and your son's passing. Tell us a little bit about just your beliefs and how you believe that, you know, after this tragedy.
Sure. So I was raised with faith. And, you know, what you learn in Sunday school, you know, there's a pearly gate, there's angels with wings. It's all good.
Right.
It's all good. And after the tragedy, because it was really my first experience with profound grief and loss, I started reading some books on more spiritual books about what happens to the soul after, you know, you transition.
Right.
So I've really kind of expanded my view that I personally believe that when we're on Earth, we kind of rent a shell, you know, and my shell right now is 5 foot tall with brown hair. Mm-hmm. But when I transition, my soul, you know, endures. And I think we're more than our physical body. And I think my husband and my son are, they've transitioned, and I can't see them with my eyes, but their soul, I think, is alive and well. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of how I perceive
your coping mechanism of what makes sense to you. And I believe that too. So let me ask you, if we could take you back to that day, was it in the middle of the night? Was it, when was it that
it
all
in
happened?
It was dark at about 3 or 3:30 in the morning.
And you guys were all obviously all in bed.
Nope. We had, we woke up, we heard heavy rain. We said, let's get dressed, get out. We had the car staged to go to a hotel room. And, as the mud came roaring in, it was about at my waist or my chest when the aware and beware alarm went off on my phone that fell out of my hand saying, get to high ground. So it was a little too late.
Wow. And from your book, and again, I thank you so much for sharing this and also coming on my show to share this with people. My mom passed away, it's been 7 years now, and unexpectedly. That's a whole different, another feeling of unexpectedly. What advice would you give to people that has maybe lost somebody unexpectedly?
Well, you know what? There's a website called Therapy Heals, and it's by a PhD expert, Jennifer Levin, and she is an expert in sudden traumatic loss. That's her. Mm-hmm. That's her thing. If it's from suicide, if it's from natural disaster, if it's just car accident, sudden, right? And she has these podcasts on her website, and I listened to them. They're like 30 minutes each, and they were helpful because that's her swim lane. That's her thing. And I found the various podcasts when she interviews people who went through a sudden loss. It's helpful.
Wow. And let me ask you this. What do you want people to know most about your son and your husband?
They were two of the good guys, and they lived well. They did what I think we all should do, which was they gave more than they got. They gave a lot to the community. They gave a lot to their friends and family, and that, I think, is a sign of a good life.
That's beautiful. And did you say you have another daughter?
My daughter survived. Lauren survived. So I have... my son Jack's up in heaven, and my daughter Lauren is almost 20 years old now.
Wow. And how is she doing?
She's, you know, the strongest girl I know. She's a college student, and and I'm so grateful that we have each other.
Wow, that's beautiful. So let me ask you, the title of your book, how did you come up with that title?
My daughter did, and it was brilliant. So what happened was we're coming around with names, and the pile that we found some of my son's remains in was, you know, that soil was really toxic. It had people, you know, 150 homes were destroyed, I think. So think about everything in someone's garage, right? Paint,
right.
Chemicals, insulation, whatever. So that soil that was dispersed around had arsenic in it, and all really bad stuff. So you wouldn't think anything could grow. Mm-hmm. But miraculously, the pile that some of the remains that we believe are Jack's was covered with beautiful yellow flowers. And so she said, why don't we do where yellow flowers bloom? Because it's a beautiful metaphor to look for the good when maybe from the outside there shouldn't be any. But life found a way, right? Love found a way on that pile.
Right. That's beautiful. So did you ever rebuild your home? Where are you exactly? So are you in the Santa Barbara, or are you in, like, Where are you? Or
I'm
where
in Santa
were
Barbara.
You?
We stayed in Santa Barbara, not Montecito.
Montecito. So
property,
you were in Montecito before?
That's where it happened, in Montecito.
Okay, so that is exactly, yeah.
Slide. And we, I have, I still own the property. I put, to be kind to the neighbors, I put a, you know, fence around it and hedges so they don't have to look at the 1,000 boulders that still sit in the corner of the property.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And, you know, when you reflect on what happened to your life there,
yeah.
What do you, I mean, you know, like, I always think we're supposed to learn something from it, or I don't know, what comes to you?
Gosh, I think there's, I think in anything what we experience, the good, the bad, the ugly, there's
mm-hmm.
learnings. And I think for me, I was filleted open. I was a, you know, a busy mom, active family, I had a professional career, and then my life turned upside down. And I think what I've learned, I would say, is I'm more empathetic. I can hold the space of grief for other people going through grief because I now have profound knowledge of it. And I'm more vulnerable. I think I'm just – and things are just things. I lost everything. I mean, there wasn't
wow.
even rebar in the pool anymore. I mean, I lost everything. But a couch is just a couch. I mean, what was really sad is to lose pictures and the kids' artwork. But a couch is just a couch. A chair is just a chair.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And did you, did people come from all over and donate to you? Or, and I know that your story was actually broadcast to the nation. How, I mean,
yeah, it was global. I mean, I didn't realize that I was in the hospital coming out of surgery. And
So let's start there. What happened to you? Did you have to have surgery? You're saying you had to have surgery from
sure,
the mudslide?
Sure, I was, you know, the book covers all the detail, but I was eggplant purple. I went 2 football fields distant swimming with massive boulders, shard from broken glass, you know, windows from houses and bricks and granite and down trees. And I'm really fortunate I survived it, but I was severely injured. I couldn't move. I had to learn to walk again. I had 2 surgeries the first night to repair a major laceration down through the quad muscle of my leg and knee, and then a major laceration on my arm. But I didn't lose an eye. I didn't lose, you know, I could have.
Kim, wow. You are just remarkable. I mean, beyond remarkable. Just a wow. You know, I mean, this just really, like, we hear of all the flooding. I actually had friends up there that their homes were right there too. You probably could have been neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you hear all of that, then the fires, then, you know, I mean, our community has gone through such hard times, people losing, you know, just like you, family members, and also, you know, material, which doesn't even seem like it's even anything compared to
losing.
You know,
I thought that was
members.
Just a nuisance, right?
Exactly.
I mean if,
you know?
If you just lost your house, that's a major nuisance.
Exactly.
But when you lose everything in your house and half your family, that becomes, you realize what's important.
Yeah. Was your daughter hurt too?
Yeah, she was.
Did she have to have surgery?
No, she didn't have to have surgery. But she's pretty beaten up.
So let me ask you, what are we going to find in your book, and how can our listeners get your book?
Well, thank you. They're going to hear the firsthand experience because our family was all over the news. I think there's 4 billion media impressions of what happened to our family. But they,
mm-hmm.
no one knows the firsthand story. So the book tells the firsthand story of my experience in the mudslide. Lauren tells her firsthand experience, the miracle mud princess that everyone saw emerge from her entombment. And then it talks about the search for my son, whose body was missing, and a 2-year-old little girl, and all these synchronicities and astonishing things that happened along the way, and the portrait of a compassionate community. So you're going to get it. People tell me they read it in like 2 days. They just fly through it. It reads like
right.
a fiction, like, you know, a very fast-paced fiction. It doesn't read like a memoir, I guess. But you can get it on Amazon. Yeah, it's just where yellow flowers bloom. It's on Amazon.
Wow. And for any of our listeners that are just, you know, tuning in right now, basically this was already 2018. It just seems so like it was, you know, yesterday. But
yeah.
This incident was really responsible for 23 deaths, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you still see all the people that lost family? Dad, have you become part of their family?
Montecito had a lot of hedges up. A lot of people in Montecito, we just kind of like our privacy. That's just how it's a beautifully kind of country-ish looking place. Near the ocean. And the mudslide tore down all the hedges. And the beautiful thing that happened is we all get to know one another, you know. And I certainly know the people that are the survivors, and I treasure them. We get one another. The town gets us, right? They know. I mean, it was a community. It wasn't just a Kim tragedy. It was a community tragedy.
Right.
Everyone was impacted.
Right. How long did it take for everybody to find, you know, their loved ones? I mean, was that, you know, you never give up hope.
Yeah, the book details some of this as well. I think there was 1,000 rescues in the first 24 hours of people, and I think it was 800 on the ground, 200 by air.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it was impassable that you couldn't get through the roads. You know, the one fire chief came up in his truck and he poked, you know, he damaged 3 of the tires because of all the glass and the live electrical wires. So it was extremely dangerous. Then the search and rescue, Santa Barbara Search and Rescue, who's phenomenal, they were there, and Kevin Taylor, who was the then chief of Montecito Fire, he's the true hero of the story. He ordered in a lot of equipment and people to help because he thought the mountain could come down. And because of him, people got rescued sooner. Probably because of him, I'm alive and my daughter's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the search dogs did 2,000 hours of searching for the missing. And, you know, it took them a while to find. I mean, it was harder to find. Like, I think one of the last ones found was 10 days after the slide.
Wow. Incredible. Well, Kim, I am just beyond in awe, and my heart goes out to you and your family.
Thank you.
In honor of your family, and I'm sure, is there a lot of you that have written books on this situation?
No, but
wow.
No. All of us, you know, been a tough 5 years. There is one woman who wrote a book on the trauma she endured and different techniques that she explored to get through the trauma.
Right.
I can't remember her name, but she did.
Okay.
She just recently did a book. Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, I recommend everybody to definitely get your book. And how can you give out your website?
Sure, it's kimcanton.com, and it's C-A-N-T-I-N, like a tin can, kimcanton.com, and you can see, you can get it on Amazon, and you can see different events that have been conducted.
Perfect. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life, and you truly have really shared the brighter side, so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Well, we are just going to go right into our next guest. And, of course, that is Dr. Karp. Dr. Harvey Karp, he's a pediatrician, a creator of the award-winning Baby Bed Snoo. And we're going to hear a little bit more about him. Welcome, Dr. Harvey Karp. How are you?
Well, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, and thank you for joining us on The Brighter Side of Life here on the Kim Pagano Show. And, of course, for our listeners that are just waking up, starting your day in a positive way, we have Dr. Harvey Karp. He is a pediatrician, creator
of the award-winning baby bed Snoo and Smart Sleeper, and the author of the best-selling parents' guides, Happiest Baby on the Blocks, and I guess you're celebrating a 20th year. Good for you. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And the Happiest Toddler on the Block. Four kids, four grandchildren. Where was your book when I was doing this? But I'm happy to have you. Thank you so much.
It's so great to talk to you as well. I've only got one grandchild, so I'm bowing down to you to have so many.
They're the best. So, you know, it's like you love your children, you can't think anymore. But then when you have grandchildren and they look up at you and they're like, Nana, and you're like, yes, anything, anything.
Yeah.
So I love it. Talk to us about who you are and, of course, all these wonderful things that you've added to our community and our world. I love that.
Thanks so much. Well, I'm a pediatrician and practiced pediatrics in Los Angeles for almost 30 years. And you know, when you're taking care of so many babies, you learn some things. And I was able to observe something that actually wasn't really known before, which is that babies are born kind of with an off switch for crying and an on switch for sleep. And the way you activate that reflex is by imitating the baby's experience in the womb, which is really basically swaddling, shushing, jiggling them. It's kind of what everybody learns when you're holding a baby, how to calm them. But it turns out it's very specific. The way you do it, if you do it in a very specific way, you can calm even colicky babies, oftentimes in seconds, and you can help babies sleep longer. And so that's really what's behind the Happiest Baby on the Block. And as you said, came out 20 years ago, but it's been something that parents have used all that period.
I love it. I had one of my sons was colicky. So, you know, if we couldn't move enough, right, walk enough, we got in the car and drove, and that seemed to calm him down. So I love that. And now,
But that's the thing. Let me just stop you there, because what you said is so important, which is parents are taught, listen, there's nothing you can do with a baby. They're little babies. They have to wake up a lot. They cry sometimes a lot. You just have to deal with that. But if you're really frustrated, there's this magical thing you can do that helps babies sleep more and cry less, which is drive them in the car. And so that's actually why we created Snoo, because Snoo imitates the rocking and the shushing that babies get in the car, except it allows you to be sleeping in the bed while the baby is soothed all night long. That's really the basis of it.
Wow, I love that. I love that. And so let me ask you, first of all, how did you come up with that?
Well, so working in the pediatric practice for so many years, I would handle babies and I would just observe what really worked for the babies. And what's interesting about parents is that while so many people are really well educated today, many people haven't had a lot of experience taking care of babies and may not have extended family around to help them. So people really needed that support. So as a pediatrician, I started to write about techniques to help babies and also toddlers, kids 8 months to 5 years of age. It's a very challenging period. And that's what the Happiest Toddler really helps people with.
I love it. You'll have to send me a couple books for the Happiest Toddler. Now, I'm already past the baby stage for my grandchildren, but you know what it is? It's funny here, you know, we do not get instructions. You know, it's like you're in the hospital, congratulations, and here you go. Now start your life, right? You know?
That's exactly right. And then when you're home with the baby, the first question they ask you is, how's the baby sleeping? And so the reason that we created Snoo, which has now been on the market for 6 years, actually we've measured 500 million hours of infant sleep. So we have a tremendous amount of information about babies. And what we've learned is that we can pretty much automatically add an hour to the baby's sleep. And by the time they're 2 or 3 months old, we're increasing the longest episode of sleep from 5 hours or so to 6 or 7 hours. So we're really helping babies learn to be great sleepers. By 6 months, they're such great sleepers, literally they're sleep trained. You don't have to do cry it out routines. One day they can be in Snoo and then just transition the next day to the crib. So we're super excited about that. That's the reason why Snoo has won more awards than any product in history, any baby product in history. And it's even in the Smithsonian Institution in the permanent collection. So it's something that, parents have really taken notice of. But now we have the FDA approval, which is very important.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Talk to us about that. And obviously, you know, it's funny, we don't realize how important the FDA is. So, and the recognition, talk to us about that.
So about 30 years ago, pediatricians discovered that sleeping on the back was the safest position. Before that, we used to tell people to put the babies on the stomach, but it turns out that they die much more easily. They get their faces into the mattress. It's hard for them to breathe. So 30 years ago, we said, everybody be on the back, and that's what every doctor teaches. And immediately we saw a reduction in infant death, what we call SIDS. But for the last 20 years, there's been no improvement. 3,500 babies a year die in their sleep in the United States. 300 a month, healthy babies. And here's the weird thing, which is that you know, Kim, that when you put your grandkids in the car, you always put them in a car seat. You wouldn't drive 3 minutes without securing them.
Correct.
And yet, the number one place babies die is in bed, when they just accidentally roll to an unsafe position. Why wouldn't we secure babies for 12 hours at night to keep them securely on the back? And that's what the FDA approval is all about. So they have designated SNU as something that is safe and effective for doing the number one thing that the doctors recommend, which is keeping babies safely on the back.
You just gave me chills, and that's brilliant. Let me ask you, I know that our listeners can actually rent one now, right?
Exactly.
And that they're in the hospital. So talk to us about all of that and how do they get that?
Yeah, our goal with SNU is that everyone gets a free SNU and that it'll be paid for by your insurance company or by Medicaid, the government. And right now, thousands of people get a free SNU from their employers. So companies like JP Morgan and Snapchat and Under Armour all give this as a benefit to new parents to help them rest and to help them feel taken care of. And we'd love other companies to contact us because our goal is that everyone gets this for free. And so that's the big progress that we're making. And it's even in hospitals. 150 hospitals are using SNU to take care of little babies. And what we've demonstrated is each bed reduces nurse labor because the nurses are so, you know, so short-staffed and so stressed ever since COVID. But each SNU in the hospital reduces nurse labor 4 to 5 hours a day. And that's how it helps parents at home because it isn't just for sleep. When you're cooking dinner or taking a shower or playing with your three-year-old, SNU can help keep the baby calm for an extra 15 or 20 minutes so that you can get a break and do all the things that you have to do as a new parent.
I love that. And lastly, what are the five S's?
So when you want to calm a baby, the thing that you're doing is imitating the baby's life in the womb. And it turns out it's pretty loud and active in there. The sound is louder than a vacuum cleaner. Babies are constantly rocked. Because of the movement of the mother's diaphragm. So the five S's are ways to soothe babies. It's swaddling, the side or stomach position, never for sleep. We only want them on the back for sleep, but side or stomach for calming a crying baby, shushing, swinging, and sucking. And we've got lots of information about babies and about toddlers, all for free. Anyone who wants to come to our website, that's how they find out about renting the bed as well. We can rent it off the website, ship it to you for free, literally for $5 a day, which is pretty much a Starbucks, but for a 24-hour helper.
I love it. I love it. Dr. Karp, you could tell you have so much passion. I love when I talk to doctors that are passionate about what they do. And, of course, your books, Happiest Baby on the Block and Happiest Toddler on the Block. And, of course, everybody needs to get one of your snooze. And, you know, I love it. Makes so much sense. They should just kind of educate you as you're going home with a SNU, and you know.
Thanks, Kim.
I really have to quickly say the white noise. When I was babysitting my grandchild, I was like, "How am I going to sleep with this white noise?" But you know what? You do. So
you know,
I love it.
That's a new concept. Actually, swaddling and white noise really are things that came back. They were first recommended in my book, The Happiest Baby on the Block, 20 years ago. And now it's really become part of the culture. And I'm convinced that snoo also will be something that, you know, just parents get used to because everyone needs the help. So get more information at happiestbaby.com. And I so appreciate your time and your interest.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to talking with you again. Have a great rest of your day, and thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, what a great show. Some really interesting things. And, of course, I urge you to, if you haven't already got your tickets for today, definitely call in for the Chili Cook-Off. And that, again, is 805-419-0008. Also call in for the Wild Oaks Country Music Festival. That's happening June 3rd, and we have tickets for that. And, of course, I always say, and we will always like to end our show with a moment of happiness, your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Have a great rest of your weekend.
I go to work every Monday and get to do something I love. I make it home every evening to an angel God sent from above. I got an 8-point on camera from last year, that this season looks like a 10. I got a barn with a fridge full.